Today, we are imagining the possibilities with Stephanie Vizioli, Executive Director, Medical Governance and Strategic Capabilities at Intellia Therapeutics. She started with Intellia in June 2023. Prior to, she worked at Novartis for almost 20 years. Stephanie holds her Bachelor's of Science degree from Cornell University and an MBA in Pharmaceutical Management from Rutgers Business School. Stephanie is based in New Jersey, and a fun fact about her, she once was on the cover of a local newspaper in Hyderabad, India. Let's dive in.
Stephanie, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us. In the show intro, we provided a quick introduction, but we'd love to have you start and share your elevator pitch version of your bio.
Sure. Hi, Ellie. Hi, Maritza. Thanks for having me. So as you said, I've been with Intellia about 7 months now, and my role focuses on governance and operations within the medical affairs organization. So governance really means things like building new processes, oversight, just to make sure that when we engage with healthcare professionals externally, we're doing it consistently and we're doing it compliantly. And then the operations piece is really to help make sure that we're focused on managing our resources and building our strategy to guide the medical affairs organization as we continue to grow. In terms of my background, my first job out of college was at a lab at Cornell Medical Center, and that lab really focused on viral vectors for gene therapy. But they also happened to have a couple of phase one studies going on. And the cool part about that is that's what allowed me to move from bench into clinical trial work, where, you know, I felt completely in love. So I then did my MBA, and then I went back to a small oncology pharma where I focused on phase three clinical trials and managing trials, which then I ended up at Novartis after that. And at Novartis, I started in clinical trials, but I was lucky enough to get to move over into medical affairs. And that's where I started out just building processes to fix a few compliance issues, but very, very lucky, ended up being able to lead the US medical operations team. And that team really was a centralized function for anything you could do centrally. So I've had a lot of really good experience across governance and strategy and contracting and publications and just it basically a lot of really fun functions.
That's great. It's so cool to me that you started right out of college and you were in this lab that was doing gene, you know, exploring gene therapy. And that was sort of the way that you could, you know, move off the bench and sort of explore clinical trials. And that's, yeah, where you are now. So that's great. So you said you started at Intellia 7 months ago. How did you first learn about us and what sort of drew you to apply an interview?
So I learned about Intellia from Ricardo Rocha, who came here in 2022 to start the medical affairs organization. Ricardo and I worked forever together at Novartis, and I knew each other pretty well. And he could not stop talking about this amazing company called Intellia and all the great work that was going on. And he told me I had to read Codebreaker. So I did. And I, of course, I'm fascinated by the science and really loved it. And just the thought of the potential to be able to bring this type of technology to patients that really can change medicine forever. So I thought it was a great idea and I applied.
That's great. Yeah, we always talk about sort of referrals and, you know, people that are working at Intellia bringing in new talent. So it's great to hear that you're one of those people. I think we're into this day that's our
number one
source.
We still
have a high percentage of referral hire, so that's great. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love the idea, though, being like, oh, read Codebreakers, and then you'll want to come here.
Yeah.
That's like a good marketing campaign.
I mean, it worked, and you learn a lot of the background that way.
Yeah.
So I recommend it to everyone.
I think we used to have an Intellia book club a while back, and it was one of the books, of course, that everyone read, but it's worth a reread.
Yeah. So as, you know, someone that's working in medical governance, how would you describe sort of your typical work day or even a week? What does that look like for you? I know sometimes people, every day looks different, but what does yours look like?
Yeah, I mean, I still think I'm getting into the groove of things, mm-hmm. but I like to start early. I'm online by about like 7:30. I love that quiet period in the morning where you kind of dig out all the email you didn't get to and kind of organize my thoughts for the day. you know, I realize I still have a ton to learn about people and what they do. So I set up a lot of one-on-ones. I have a lot of one-on-ones just to get to meet people. We've started a few review committees, like medical review committee and grants and sponsorship committee. So it's been a good amount of time just organizing and tracking and documenting for those committees and then facilitating the meetings when they happen. I'm really excited. I think one of my most exciting things is we're kicking off some work with healthcare systems and understanding how does a healthcare system work and how are they or aren't they prepared to accept a new kind of medical technology like us. So I'm working with some vendors a lot to kind of kick that work off. I spend a lot of my time with finance and procurement and sourcing and legal just because we're growing. Medical affairs is growing. So it's super, we have tons of contracts and sponsorships and things that really I need this group's help with. So become very good friends with a lot of those people. And then I guess the rest is you spend time thinking about how strategically can we set up this organization for the future. And So I guess I say a lot of meetings, but also I really do try to find time to carve out to do some thinking and some planning.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Maybe we can take a step back for anyone listening who isn't familiar with biotechs in general. Where in your experience does the medical governance or medical director roles group sit within an org? And when do you introduce roles like that? Like at what stage in a company or biotech's progress?
Yeah, it's a really good question. And that's what I think we face a lot because the medical affairs group is pretty new within Intellia. Mm-hmm. So basically, a medical affairs organization in typical traditional fashion is there really to take your science and be able to use it, communicate it externally with healthcare providers and with others so that, and patients and advocacy groups, so that you can really teach the world what the right drug for the right patient means, right? And what the science behind it means. So generally about, 3 to 4 years before launch, you want to start paving the way, which is, about the right timing. And really where you can start with that is, yeah, you bring in your medical director roles and they work with the programs to really bring that medical affairs perspective to the program teams themselves. Okay. Mm-hmm. But a role like mine in governance is really to be here to, before we're out there talking, there's rules to that and there's guidelines to that. So my role is to come in and set the stage for some governance around what do our processes look like? What do our systems look like? What do our policies look like? And how do you get the group to, when they're out there, not be putting anyone at risk, right? And be compliant. Right. And just the operations piece, like I said, is more around setting the resource management pieces and just making sure we're ready to grow before you grow.
Interesting. Okay. That makes a ton of sense. So to your point, the medical directors come in, they start having internal conversations about what that could look like, the market. Then you're coming in, you're setting these rules, if you will.
Yeah.
Who in a company would come in like after all of those things are established? Is that like your sales department hitting the floor?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. And it's sometimes it's the same time and, or just stagger just a little bit, but medical is there really to talk about what clinical pathways externally need to be established in order to get the medicine that you're producing to the right patients and to educate. Lots of education, whether it's around publications or it's around answering questions on how therapeutics work, out there to engage with the doctors, right? Then you also have the commercial organization, which is really there for landscape readiness and for launch prep and for access and for all those really important things of actually getting, the drugs in a marketplace that they work. So work really, really closely together, but have different purviews and just for people aren't used to how pharma works, you also have some firewalls in between how you can function because you don't want medical to ever be perceived as a sales organization.
Right. Okay. That is super interesting. You are a remote employee, so you're not based in Massachusetts. We love talking with remote employees. Could you share more about your experience, how it's been going, like meeting people, maybe how often you have to come to Cambridge, if you do at all?
Yeah. So I'm in New Jersey and before COVID, I rarely worked from home. I loved going into the office. I loved the interaction. So I wasn't sure when I took this job how this would be and how I would meet people. But to be, I mean, with how our culture works now, it really has been a good experience and it hasn't been that difficult. Mm-hmm. I still try to have a lot of one-on-ones just to kind of meet people personally, learn about them and connect a little bit better. But I try to take advantage of any opportunity. Like if there was a team development team face-to-face offsite mm-hmm. That I made sure I went to so that I could get to meet people. We're attending congresses a lot more now, and that's where I'm getting to see more people face-to-face too. And then I just try to get to Cambridge whenever it makes sense. Not too mm-hmm. much, but I'll be there this week. I'll be there tomorrow, actually. Oh, so yeah. Nice. So whenever I have a chance, I do try to get there and get set up. But
yeah,
remote works. It just works. Yeah. And the team is so spread that it's
right. Yeah. Right. That's what I was going to say. A lot of you are all over. So that's nice. It's not like they're eating lunch together every day and you're not part of those conversations, yeah. which I feel like pre-COVID was the downside to being remote or the only remote employee. And now you don't see that. Yeah. I was having the same conversation with my friends this weekend about just what it looks like to return to work and how everything is different. Like people, we thought we could never work remote. Here we are functioning well. Like what does that office culture?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about it. Before you would be on the speakerphone and you couldn't see the slides on the board. Yes. People were just talking. And now everybody's on camera anyway. So.
Yeah. 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 That's a good point. Yeah. Yeah. Great.
So we have sort of, within the past couple of years become everyone's norm. I think like it's everyone's sort of default, and the opportunities, at least at Intellia, when we get to meet in person and be in person, especially for our roles when we don't have to be in person and be in the lab, but it's always like something different to be in person and face to face versus we're just so used to living on our computers. So an important topic for us at Intellia and then also on the season of the podcast is mentorship. So could you speak about who has been your most important professional mentor and why?
Yeah, and I really, really support that mentorship is important because I've found it priceless throughout my career, no matter what stage, to be honest. So I've been really, really fortunate, I think, to have really strong leaders and strong mentors throughout my career. I don't know if I can say most important, but I could look at most impactful. And there was a woman, her name's Rosemary, that was my mentor for a couple of years. She actually became my boss after being my mentor, but that probably had something to do with each other. So she was someone who my boss at the time set me up with. She was someone who had tons of different experiences. She worked in different capacities in pharma, and she lived in several different countries. So she really, she was very good at offering suggestions on how do you develop or who do you need to network with, things like that. But I really think actually the best part was that she didn't work in my function at all, and she didn't really necessarily know people that I worked with. And so that kind of separation, if I came to her with something that I was struggling through or trying to work through, or she was really able to kind of ask those questions that got you out of the weeds, right? That make you zoom out enough to really see a wider perspective. And I found that to be super helpful because when you're in it, you're too far in it, right? And mm-hmm. if you have someone who doesn't necessarily understand all those nuances, they're really able to kind of bring you up a level and let you look at it differently and ask those probing questions. And so I found that to be really, really helpful. So, and I totally, like I said, I agree every person should have a mentor and work with them.
Yeah.
Did your relationship change when she became your manager, or how was that adjustment?
Not really, which was, I think, probably why we got along is we had some we knew who I was, and she wasn't going to hire me,
True.
Not knowing that. Because that's the other thing about a mentor, a good mentor, is that you can be really transparent. Mm-hmm. Because they're not there to judge you, and they're not giving you your performance review, right? They're mm-hmm. there just to help you and to guide you. So, I guess it did help our relationship when I did work.
That's great.
I love how you talk about how it doesn't necessarily have to be someone that's involved in your type of work or just in your, fully understands what you're doing. And it can really provide that macro lens. Cause I think people get caught up a lot in like, oh, I don't know who to choose as my mentor. Like, they need to sort of like have like an understanding of what I do and what my goals are. And it can be much more from a macro level. It doesn't necessarily have to be giving you specific guidance on, you know, the projects you're working on. It can be just overall how you're working and, you know, who to reach out to if you need more in depth. Yeah.
Advice. And that's more helpful anyway. I mean, really, because you're not, I don't need someone to tell me, okay, look at it. You're doing this, do this.
Yeah.
We have to figure that out for ourselves, right? And base it on what's around us. But really just to have someone kind of give you the ability to see things differently is helpful.
Looking back, is there anything you wish you had known before you began your professional career?
Everything? I don't know. I think one of the main things is that this understanding that we are impacting people when we don't think we are, right? For the good and the bad. So kind of how you show up every day to support your colleagues and your teammates, it actually really matters. Mm-hmm. I've been really, really lucky in that people have given me straight feedback my whole career. And people have told me like how I've influenced them or how I've impacted them. And it would be things that I don't even remember doing or saying.
Oh, wow.
And then things really stick with people and you don't realize it is. So I think understanding that the things we do matter, even if we don't know that they do, I think would have been an eye-opening thing for me to know before getting deep into career.
That is so interesting. And I feel like as women, we are expected to be positive and happy. And I feel like I've been labeled that before. And it's a compliment. And hearing that advice, which I think is really good advice, but I'm curious if you have any thoughts on that.
I've always had really strong women mentors.
Yeah.
And strong women connections. Mm-hmm. As women, as strong women, you can find a great mentor that even strengthens that further. It's important.
And it can be so helpful. I mean, I feel lucky that I think I have a very different experience than maybe some of my friends in the workforce because one, HR is predominantly women within our team. And also Intellia puts a lot of focus on, you know, developing mentorship relationships. We have WISE, which is our women's ERG. And there's just so many different ways where women are visible across the company. But I think, I don't know, especially me being early in my career, I think a lot of times I take it for granted. And then I sort of hear stories from my friends who are in completely different sectors of work. But it's definitely something that is easy to forget, but also really important to lean on. You're sort of trying to find that community and that network of people who will support you. Because at the end of the day, they understand things more, you know, closely than others can, maybe.
Yeah. And it's especially important. Well, so I think pharma is unique in that we are very lucky. We have lots of very strong women around us. And even in my early days where I was starting a family and, you know, how much time did I want to take off? And what did that mean coming back? I came back part-time. What did that mean? And that was all really important to have strong women around me that I could ask those kinds of questions too.
Such a great resource.
Yeah.
We could spend a whole episode on that.
What is something either can be your professional career or in your personal life that you would consider your greatest triumph?
So personally, I ran a marathon like 100 years ago, and I say that's my triumph, but my husband says that my statute of limitations has run out on claiming that. Professionally, I would say I don't have a major triumph. I think that all of these little things that we do and accomplish every day are my triumphs. And it's kind of what makes me excited to work and what makes me excited to have a career. And it's all of those little things that you think, there's no way I can do that. Like, no way. And then you do it and you build that process that helps people, or you implement a system, or you teach people something, or you just bring new insights. I think it's all little triumphs along the way that kind of make it fun and keep me employed, I guess.
Yeah. I like that. You don't have to have one moment, because then A, what happens after that moment? And B, what if you don't have that moment? But it really is all the little things adding up together. We talked about this before we jumped on, but I want to go way back to your fun fact. Can you tell us about this newspaper and maybe why you were in India? Was it vacation, for work?
Yeah. So I was in Hyderabad for work. We had an office there, and a colleague and I had gone over. We were meeting with a team of medical writers that we were working with. And I will tell you, I love Hyderabad. I love India. I love the whole experience. And the team there is just so nice. And they would take us out on the weekends and we would go sightseeing. So we were walking around Hyderabad, this woman, colleague of mine, and we were with our team. And these people started taking pictures of us and didn't think anything of it. And then the next morning, I walk into the office and the team is just cracking up. They think it's the funniest thing ever. And they hand us the local paper, which is written in Telugu, so I can't read it or understand it. And on the cover is a picture of my colleague, Christine, and I, and there's these fake fireworks behind us. And we're like, well, what does it say? And it was an article on how tourism is increasing in Hyderabad. And we were proof of that walking around the city. And they tell me it didn't say anything bad and it was all good, but it was just hysterical. Like, I can't even end up on a New Jersey newspaper, but I can end up Hyderabad local.
So funny. Yes. Forever famous. How often did you have to travel or do you have to travel internationally like that for work?
So it goes in spurts, I would say. I think with any job, that's kind of how it is. At that time, I was actually leading a team, building a few different capabilities in our India office. So I got go there like 3 or 4 times, which was, I mean, it's hard. It's hard because you spend a good amount of time when you go. You don't want to go and come back in a couple of days.
I was going to ask, how long did you stay?
Mm-hmm. So I would stay for, most people would stay for 2 weeks. I would stay for 1 week. My kids were little at the time, so I was kind of like, forget it. I'm coming back. Yeah. So I traveled there a few times, 3 or 4 times, and loved it. Thought it was great. Internationally, I think when you're in medical and when you're in clinical, you do, because you're either visiting sites or you're, mm-hmm. in our case for medical affairs, we go to congresses and we have Intellia booths that we're putting up. And so we were in Amsterdam last year. And so there you'll find international congresses where you kind of divide and conquer as a team and go to, mm-hmm. And also US ones. So medical is definitely like clinical, I would say it's travel, but I happened to found a realm in medical operations where for a good stint, I didn't travel, mm-hmm. Which was helpful for my family, my situation.
Yeah, that's great. And I just want to make sure I'm hearing you correctly. Are you saying congresses or conferences?
Well,
and can you explain that?
We call them congresses. They're usually professional society or patient society congresses or conventions.
Okay.
Things like the American Heart Association will have one annual congress. Like this year, it was in Philly, and we went and we had an Intellia booth. Mm-hmm. And that's where you can answer questions of people who come to your booth or offer materials that educate on what we're doing. We also had a symposium where Mariana Fontana and Rodolf Berghu presented the data for Intellia, and standing room only, super successful.
Wow.
It was very, very fun. So those are opportunities for us to engage with others around who is Intellia, mm-hmm. and answer questions around our clinical trials and programs and things like that.
Okay. And who is the audience typically at those?
So it depends which ones, but professional society is all doctors, right? It's HCPs who go to either their presenters or their learners. Like ESC, which is European Society of Cardiology, I think there were I could be wrong, but 25,000 people there. It's huge. And they're in these big convention centers, and all of the pharmas come, and there's all of these different presentations. So you can go learn about what science is emerging, what data is coming out. There's posters and all sorts of things. You just learn what it's where we would go to present and highlight our data, and as is everybody else.
It's very, very
cool. It's reminding me, Marisa, of what almost like a career fair, but on a very, very large scale.
Yeah.
I was literally just thinking, do you hand out swag too? I think it's different.
You can't hand out swag. We know we can't, we don't want to give any transfers of values to our healthcare professionals. But you have materials, and we have booth materials, and it's super fun. And Yeah. That's and awesome. It's a great place to get to see your colleagues, but also maybe colleagues you worked with in the past from other places.
Yeah. No, that's really interesting. Yeah. And like you said, you're with like people asking questions. And so it's a good practice for you or anyone on the team too, just to get to answer the tough questions on the spot. I can't imagine. I'm sure it's very interesting.
Yeah. And part of what, so when I was talking before about setting up governance, our medical review committee. So we have like FAQ. So if you're asked a question about this is how you answer it. And those review committees are important because anything you say, paraphrase, but or anything you show externally, you have to get it reviewed and approved because you want to make sure legal's there, regulatory's there, medical's there to make sure you're not making any claims, to make sure you're representing safety appropriately, that things are balanced and that they're accurate, right? So review committees are important as we start to put more and more material out there and we start to engage more and we start to say more.
That's one of the
fun ways that I feel like my job can contribute.
I was just going to say, you don't necessarily even need to be there, but your FAQ or your script, if you will, is, and that's so important.
And the reason I think, and I would say sometimes I wouldn't be there, but I am, is we're only like an N of 4.
Yeah,
now. True. So we kind of divide and conquer, right?
Everybody,
it's all hands on deck.
Yeah. And it's fun to mix it up, go somewhere new. So our last question we like to ask everyone, and I recognize you did just start, but what is next for your career?
Hopefully nothing for a few years. I've loved the past 6 months at Intellia. I think there's so much that we can do. When we look towards like launching these programs, there is so much that we can really set up, right? And work on so that everybody's ready for this. So the other thing though is longer term. I think when you're at a company that's growing and that when we get to where we have both products in development and on the market, there's going to be functions that don't exist now that just continue to expand and get bigger and develop. And so I think I just keep my eye out, right, for something that's a stretch, something maybe I haven't been so involved in. And hopefully Intellia could be an opportunity for something like that.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think there's incredible value to big companies, small companies, everything in between. But when you are at a smaller company that's growing and new teams that don't even exist today pop up, there's so much opportunity, which is interesting. Definitely. All right, we're going to move on to our rapid fire finale questions. I am excited to hear your answer. What is a hidden talent of yours?
I think Wordle. I am oddly lucky at Wordle.
That's good. I wonder if there's like a competition you can enter.
Well, I have one.
There you go. That's a good one. And what is something you're currently working on in your role that you're excited about?
Yeah, I really think it's this kind of non-traditional opportunity to engage with healthcare systems and professional societies and figure out how do we accelerate our phase 3 program with you and how do we get patients the treatments they need by working with these external kind of systems that, you know, maybe we don't typically engage.
Yeah, that is super fascinating. And then our last question we love to ask everyone is, what is your favorite thing about working at Intellia?
Definitely the people. It's been phenomenal. Good. And the swag, of course.
Yeah. Awesome. Glad to hear. Well, thank you so much. This was fantastic. I learned so much. It's very informative. Thank you.
Thank you.